Welcome to the Utah Football Fans Podcast. Please like, subscribe, and share. And as always, go Utes. Hello again, everybody. Welcome to, it's the final episode of the football season of the year. The Super Bowl has ended. Here we are, Utah Football Fans Podcast. It was a game. It happened. We will talk about it. Unfortunately, it didn't go the way we probably wanted it to, but hey, we're still going to get on here, talk about it, give our thoughts. Thanks to everybody who is here with us live. If you're here, make sure you are saying hi in the chat. We want to see who's here. Give us a thumbs up. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. And make sure you're subscribed to us on any podcast platform that you listen to or on all the major podcast platforms. Follow along on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the places. Make sure you hit the notifications button on YouTube so that you are notified anytime we are live on here. And huge thank you to Thomas Orthodontics. Please look him up at thomasortho.com. We love having him as the sponsor of the Utah Football Fans Podcast. Huge thank you to Thomas Orthodontics. All right. I'm going to mention one thing before we get into Super Bowl. I saw today that Utah football is having walk-on tryouts next week on February 22nd. So any of you full-time students out there, if you want to try and, you know, walk onto the football team, here's your chance.
Yeah, if you want to be the next Rudy, there you go.
I don't know.
Any wannabes, give it a shot.
You might as well try it. You know, I don't know what positions they're looking for, but
kick
you
off.
Never know. Kickers.
Kick off.
We used to do a Muss flag football game every year when I oversaw the Muss. I think they still do it, but every year there was always at least one player who thought this was going to be his big break and that he was going to get discovered. And actually, one time a kid got asked to walk on the team from the Muss flag football game.
Oh,
so
really?
You never know. It could be your shot at stardom and fame and Utah football. Look that up if you're interested in that. I will not be trying out. I don't think Gary has any eligibility left. And James is not here with us tonight, but I don't think he will be trying out either. You do have to be a full-time student. That is the stipulation. Okay, Super Bowl.
One other thing, though, Bryn. Someone last week asked if we were going to try to do or have guests and join up with other podcasts from other schools and so forth, which we are going to do that. We're in the works right now. It's in the works of getting some guests on. But we are going to have Yogi Roth. I think most of you are probably, know who he is. And we're going to have him get on the pod right around, I think, the spring game, something like that.
Yeah, he's actually going to be the one calling the Utah spring game, which is cool. And so we're going to have him join us on the podcast as it gets a little bit closer. So what is that? That's around March, April time. So look for that. And then, yeah, we are working on some other guests, hopefully some people that you will recognize. So make sure you're following along and so you don't miss any of those announcements. If we've got something coming up, you don't want to miss it because we're, and yeah, Big 12 crossovers and things like that. Like we said last time, we want to start to get to know these new fan bases and teams.
Hey, look at that.
Just zoomed
that's
in.
That's scary.
that's close up. That shows the wrinkles under my eyes here.
Wow.
I'm what? Old. I'm feeling my age after watching Usher last night. I realize how old I am.
Yeah, you're real old, Bryn, real old. Can I just say, I'm looking at some of these. Look. I know that anyone that's been that follows us, and I'm looking at the names here in the chat, so they know where we're coming from. They know we're all Raiders fans here, so they probably realize, you know, have a clue maybe of what we're gonna say. I just want to say this.
Yeah.
Utah fans, don't let anything I say regarding the Kansas City Chiefs or anything like that to get in the way of our unity of Utah football. You know what I mean? Don't let that be a wedge between us. That's what brings us together is Utah football. But we're going to talk, you know, talk other football, other sports, and it's Super Bowl. It's the last, I mean, think about it. Of all football, it's really the last game of the year. This is it. It's kind of strange.
Yeah.
It feels like a long time, though, I got to say.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about this, and I don't know how people in the chat feel too, but I'm ready for a break from football. I think you're ready. We've talked about it. And I know they do that. What is it? Is it the USFL? What is that football league that they try and do in the spring? Which to me, it's like, no, I need an off season. So then I can get excited when fall comes around. But right now I'm ready for a few months of no football. And then I'll be excited once spring game comes around and all that stuff. But I don't know how everyone else feels about it. I'm ready for a break.
Well, here's where I'm at. First of all, I'm sick of the Chiefs and I'm sick of this kind of stuff. So I'm glad that's finally over. And let's face it, our season was kind of rough. You know, it wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't the funnest of times. So, yeah, it'll feel good to have a bit of a break. But then, I mean, what is it, only a month or two? Then we're right back at it. Spring ball's right around the corner and a whole bunch of stuff. So, yeah, we'll be back at it. But here we are. All right, let me ask you this. You know, who's ever in the chat, before we get into maybe some specifics of that game, as far as a football game, how good a game do you really think it was as a game? Football game, regular game. Not, it's the Super Bowl, so there's everything riding on it, but it, just as a game, how would you rank it?
I mean, the fact it went into overtime is exciting if you are just watching it as a game, but as it, like the third quarter to me just felt like forever. It was just dragging on, and it was like, this is so boring. So, yeah, some of you are saying this, that it was just kind of a meh game. And like you said, Gary, I get it's the Super Bowl, so that in itself has the excitement to it. But no, it was just blech. I don't know. It was just boring.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, at the end, I think maybe the fourth quarter, of course, going to OT, some stuff started happening. But if it would have been a regular season game, I would have turned it over to something else or turned it off. I got kind of bored. I mean, it was a defensive struggle. Both teams' Ds were doing well. But, yeah, I didn't think it was one of the greatest games I've ever seen. I can tell you that.
No.
Of course, everyone that's a Chiefs fan, I can see here in the chat, it's a 10. It's off. It's way out there. I get it. I respect it. I would be doing the same. But, dang, it just kind of was boring.
But was there ever a point in the game where you thought the Chiefs weren't going to win? In all honesty.
Yeah, I did.
Like, really?
Yeah.
I knew the whole time, like, it was just never going to happen. That the Chiefs were always going to somehow pull it off and win. Because that's what they do.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this question, and the Chiefs fans in here, I heard this question today. If you were to rank the following in order, how would you rank these guys in order? So you've got Andy Reid, Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, and Mahomes. What would be the number one, two, and three of most importance in that game?
Interesting.
Reed, Spagnuolo, the D coordinator, and Mahomes. I guess you could add anyone else you want in there, but honestly, that's it. The most important of all of those three, or how you would order that in the hierarchy of that team.
Well, I mean, I think it so much of it comes down to head coach, but it seems like Spagnuolo is, he seems to be the brains behind so much of, I mean, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, and it's the Chiefs defense that has gotten them to the Super Bowl this year, I think. Mahomes is all, what am I trying to say? He's like flashing lights. He's not, I can't think of the phrase that I'm trying to think of. He seems like he's amazing, but when you really come down to it and look at it, he's just okay. He doesn't throw these long bombs. We've talked about this before. He throws short little passes. Yes, sometimes he can scramble away, but the Niners got to him a ton last night. And then when they put the pressure on, he would panic and he'd take a sack and things like that. So I think it's the Chiefs defense that has been the star of it. And so that's how I would rank it, probably. Spagnuolo, Reed, and then
I think Mahomes, that was Gary Singer. Yeah, Reed.
Way down here.
He has Reed, Spagnuolo, Mahomes. Got Spagnuolo, Holmes, then Reed. I would go, I mean, I think I'd go, it's either Spagnuolo or Reed. It's the coaches, then Mahomes. Yeah, players play. There's no doubt. Look, they make the plays, but I'm just, I give their schemes are great. And I'll give them props in that. And they executed when they needed to. But what about Shanahan for the coach for the Niners? Any thoughts about him in his coaching in that game?
Well, I mean, to me, the biggest thing, and we talked about it during the game, was the Niners stopped running the ball. They stopped running the ball, which, like we said when we were watching it, that's what the Ravens had done, which was their downfall. So why did they stop running the ball? All of a sudden, then they started running the ball again in the fourth quarter and getting some production. And it was like, why did you stop doing this? I don't understand.
Stupid, that's why.
It's so stupid. And then there's been all this speculation about the overtime stuff, and supposedly the Niners didn't know that the rules had changed. It's like, to me, as a coach, how do you not know what your strategy is going to be for that situation?
There's no way they should have taken the ball first. Now, if you didn't know the rules, you take it and go down. If you think you're going to go win, I mean, I don't know what they're thinking, but apparently they didn't know the rule. And you should have had the Chiefs go first with the ball.
Right.
They shouldn't have taken the ball.
That just boggles my mind that as a coaching staff, it's the Super Bowl and you don't, like, how do you not know that the rule had changed? I don't get that. And how had you not had that put in place for that situation, for that scenario, if it's going to have, I mean, so I don't know. And I know Shanahan, it seems like he's maybe had some of these blunders in the past. So there was
He was when he was with the Falcons, the OC, wasn't he the OC for the Falcons? Anyway, they had a 20-point lead against the Patriots and choked. They had a 10-point lead against the Chiefs, the other Super Bowl, choked. They had a 10-point lead in this game and choked. I think the stat is, so at the start of the second half, the Niners had a shot to go up and actually get in control of this game and win it. And I agree totally with you. I think they went, I'd have to double check this. So they get the ball, and I think they did pass, 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 punt. Get it again, pass, 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 punt. I think they did it three times in a row. They went totally away from their game and put it on the shoulders of Purdy. That's a mistake against Spagnuolo defense. What was happening is it was becoming third and long, even second and long, and then they'd give it to and putting it on the shoulders of Purdy, and he's not up for that. So if you run the ball and gain 4 yards, 6 yards, then it's manageable. And they were able to do that. I don't know. I'm watching the game going, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Hey, man, thanks.
Thank you.
That is much appreciated.
Pacific Northwest, Ute. Yeah. Yes, we're working overtime for all of you because you wanted to come on and hear what we have to say. I think everyone knows how disappointed we were in the game. But again, it's the Niners had the momentum. They had the momentum. Like the whole first half definitely had the momentum. Even most of the second half, they had the momentum. And they weren't scoring. They couldn't get in the end zone. So the field goals just weren't going to cut it. And then, of course, you miss the extra point, which unfortunately ends up being huge in the end. But
Kittle, this is why the Niners bug me, is they went away from their running game with McCaffrey. The guy's the stud. He's the guy.
Well, he's unbelievable.
And not even just running, but just maybe some little short passes. I think they only did that maybe once or twice the whole game, but they went totally away from him at the third quarter. And Kittle, I don't even know how many times they targeted that dude, and that doesn't make any sense. And so when Purdy would get in, and by the way, it looked like the ball coming off his hand looked weird sometimes. But
he made some awful throws. Yeah, he did.
But with Spagnuolo, they are going to blitz. That's his. I mean, he's sending everybody. And it was weird because I'm watching the game. I know that's going to happen. And then it's like Purdy has no outlet. And you would think they'd have Kittle or McCaffrey or somebody as a decent outlet to get the ball, but he would throw it away or throw up for a prayer. I don't know. I just thought some coaching stuff was bad, but hey.
The Chiefs had the far superior game plan for the game. And like we talked about, that goes to the coaching staff. I just feel like the Chiefs were more prepared. They knew their game. They played to their strengths, whereas the Niners seemed like they were doing all of these other things that, like you said, they were leaving behind the things that make them great. They weren't going towards that. So I think they got out-coached. I think they got out-strategized and
I don't know. The D played good enough to win the game.
Yeah, they did. They did.
It was a good defensive battle. I mean, they didn't stop them when they needed to. You know, a little frustrating on some of that stuff. But, hey, their D played good enough to win the game. I thought it was their offensive blunders that kind of screwed it for them. But, hey, man, the Chiefs did what they do. What do Chiefs fans or what do people think is I've heard rumblings, but is Reed going to retire? Is he coming back?
Oh, that's
is he done or not? What do you think?
That's an interesting question. How old is Andy Reed? I mean, he's
I don't know, to be honest. 65, 66, something like that.
He's been coaching for a long time. I mean, why not? Go ahead and retire. I mean, like, I guess, what are you shooting for? Are you trying to catch Belichick? I don't know. I mean, how many Super Bowls has Andy Reid won?
The thing is, there's never been a three-peat.
Oh.
So I don't, you know, I've heard people, so my view is I don't, with the, whether he'll catch Belichick, I don't think so. I just don't think he'll want to be around to catch Belichick for numbers of Super Bowls. But if he were to get a three-peat, something that Belichick never did in the Patriots, I see him hanging on for another year, for sure, to go after that.
Well, I guess we'll see. Okay, so who would you have chosen as MVP?
Who won it, by the way, man? I got out of there.
Mahomes.
Are you kidding me? For what?
Yeah, I'm pretty. But see, maybe I'm wrong because we did. I turned the TV off, so I actually don't know that for sure. But I'm pretty sure he won again.
It should have been to the whole defense is who they should have given it to.
But that's kind of my point. Is like, who would you give it to? The defense.
You know, here's the thing. Okay, people were betting on how many times. He did win it. How many times Swift would be shown? You could actually bet on that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that did really bug the crap out of me, and I'm sick of it. Is I think it was Hardman who caught the touchdown to win the game. Okay, now it's OT. It's OT NFL. Hard fought game. This drama, the climax of it all, they throw it to Hardman, touchdown. And where did the camera go? The first thing, that camera, as soon as he scored the touchdown, it didn't go to the Chiefs. It didn't go to anybody. It went boom, Taylor Swift hugging and screaming. And I thought, screw the NFL. This isn't football. It's a bunch of pop star crap. It's a Super Bowl. It's ruining it, man. I tell you what, that was ridiculous. You win a Super Bowl and it's Taylor Swift, we see first of all. I mean, come on, everyone watched that game had to agree. That was pathetic.
Do you feel better now?
No.
That you got that off your chest? You didn't answer my question. I don't know how you got to... You went on a Taylor Swift rant. We're talking about MVP. I'm asking you who...
It was Mahomes.
It was Mahomes. Yeah. So who should it have been? Because I don't think it was Mahomes. Like,
who was it then?
Their kicker. But what is his name? Butker or whatever.
But
give it to the kicker. I mean, it was the kick. Like, it was special teams that was the difference in that game. Like, and, you know, let's
Carol of Virus.
Mitch Wishnowsky had amazing punts. Yes. Huge shout out to him, Utah alum. I loved watching him. But
yeah.
The special teams, the kicking, and unfortunately, like we talked about, the Niners kicker missing the extra point ended up being a huge issue. And then the Niners kicker, what did he make? Like a 57-yarder or something like
line
that?
What's the English on that?
So give it to the Chiefs kicker.
Butker.
As a kicker, come on. A kicker has never won MVP. Give it to the kicker. He deserved it.
I don't care if they hit 10. They shouldn't. Once in a while. Okay, here's the question. But this is what I want everyone's opinion on this. Even if you're a Chiefs fan, seriously.
He comes over to Andy. He goes, keep me in. What happened is, on the fumble, he was not in the game. Noah Gray went in, and he had to block.
Okay. That's just a small clip of it. I'm sorry. That's inexcusable.
For those of you listening to audio podcast, we just showed the clip of Kelce physically getting into Andy Reid's face, screaming at him, pushing him. You can't defend that. You cannot defend that behavior. And unfortunately, it's not the first time Kelce has kind of done that this season. Kelce has become one of the most unlikable football players this season. And it's frustrating me because I used to like him. I liked the guy. And this year he has hit, like, ego, whatever it is, he's become so unlikable. I have lost all respect for him. You cannot get in somebody's face like that. Your head coach screaming at him.
Guy's like, the legend. He's one of the guy. I don't know. I mean, what do you do in that situation? I can't imagine someone running Belichick and Belichick just go. I bet he's riding the bench for a while. But you can't come up to the coach and treat him like that. I mean, he's not even the offensive coordinator. It's the head coach. It's Andy Reid. I thought it was disgusting. That was pathetic. The dude should have been, you know, maybe they'll do something behind the scenes that we won't know about. But I've lost all respect for Kelsey. That was terrible. Bad look.
It shouldn't be behind the scenes, though. I think you're right. We probably won't ever hear anything about it. And actually, it does bother me. Gary Singer in the chat is saying how Reed mentioned it after the game. And I think even Kelsey mentioned it after the game. And they both kind of played it off. And that actually really bugs me even more, too. Kelsey should be apologizing for that. Like, he should be saying, I was out of line. I shouldn't have done that. It was appalling to me. It really is. To just not have any respect for your head coach and to act like that. Again, yeah,
that was bad.
I've lost respect for him. I don't like him anymore.
Yeah, it just adds to it. Okay. I think Brian wants us to talk about halftime. We'll probably come back to the game a little bit. But
doesn't everybody want to talk about
the
halftime?
We have to talk about halftime. And so let me start here. Well, okay. I'll preface it this way. As someone who likes Tool, Black Sabbath, and Led Zeppelin, no, I hated the halftime. So I'm full disclosure, that's just the way it is. Okay, so having said that, I'll bring this up and then comments. So there's Usher.
A shirtless
Usher. Why are you giggling, Bryn?
Well, I mean, look at him.
Looking at him.
He looks fantastic. He's 45 years old. Look at him. He looks great. Don't you wish you looked like that?
I do.
See, that's what it is. Gary's just jealous. That's why he doesn't like the halftime.
No. Honestly, Bryn, give me a 1 to 10 on that halftime.
For my nostalgia, because I loved Usher when I feel like I'm so old saying it, but like when I was in high school, I loved Usher. So my nostalgia was a high, but I get it. For just a halftime show, it was probably like a 6. I don't know. Usher doesn't have a lot of like upbeat, really up-tempo songs. He's got the one song
that
everybody
go?
Knows.
What is that?
What?
What's the medley to that?
Do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do.
Okay. That's it. Whoever came up with that stupid little riff, I guarantee it was on a $45 Casio they bought at Walmart. Do, 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 do. And now they're all millionaires because of it.
But that's
the only thing you know of Usher. Isn't that the truth?
Well, no. I knew all of his songs, but his songs are R&B, so they're slower. They're not like exciting, like let's get up and dance. So I do think the halftime fell flat.
Roller rink thing. What is it? Everyone's going to the roller rink now.
The roller skating was dumb. That was dumb. I didn't like that, but I loved when Ludacris came out and Lil Jon and that one song. He should have just done that song and made it big. Just do the whole song. So their costumes.
Okay. Okay, come on, people. If you're watching this, can someone tell me what are they wearing?
It doesn't matter. It's costumes.
Okay, James sent me a picture. What was that, Dodgeball? What was that show, that movie?
Yeah.
Okay, it was Dodgeball. Go watch that movie. They were wearing these outfits right there. They're wearing those outfits in Dodgeball. I am not kidding. That was bad.
Here's my question. Do you like that every year the Super Bowl is in a different place, or should it just be in Vegas and in Allegiant every year? Because I feel like Allegiant Stadium is the best stadium for all of these kinds of things, and having stuff in Las Vegas is perfect. So do you like how it switches around, or should they just keep it in one place every year?
Well, Las Vegas is the entertainment capital of the world. So, and there's just so much, but I think they should move it around. Share it with, yeah, I do. I mean, I kind of like that, but, yeah, they're not going to just keep it in one place.
Texas Mike.
What?
He hates Allegiant Stadium. I wonder why.
Oh, look, as we've been saying, that Allegiant Stadium is the holy temple of the NFL. It's a spiritual experience to go there. If you haven't been there, you all need to go.
See, some of you...
Texas Mike?
People in the chat have different opinions about it. Some of you...
Rotation,
stay in one place, and then others of you like it rotating. I don't know. I just... Vegas... And yeah, Allegiant is just perfect. And like we talked about, I hope at some point maybe the Big 12 is going to move their championship there instead of Dallas. Who knows? But it's just such a great stadium. And it's so good for like entertainment stuff like this, like the halftime and the spectacle and all the stuff they can do for it. And
yeah, the Super Bowl to Orlando, that'd be nice though.
Didn't they have it in Florida a couple years ago? I guess that
Miami.
Was it Miami?
I think it was Miami, if I recall.
No, not in Orlando.
But you can't, you know, you're not going to Green Bay to do it.
Well, right. I mean, you're limited, and you're kind of limited probably to indoor stadiums unless you're going to places like Florida and things like that. So I don't know. Maybe Vegas will just get put into a more regular rotation. But where is it next year? Houston? Did I see Houston maybe? Is that where it is?
Let's just revisit that Texas, Mike. Yeah, the guys sitting next to us, they were all psyched out, man.
Read his comment. Texas Mike is saying he's partying and shaking his booty and USC is up 14. And the Utah fan sitting next to him was miserable. And then,
what happened?
Little Caleb's hamstring just all of a sudden started hurting out of nowhere. And then suddenly he was fine. And then
catastrophic.
It started hurting again. Oh, no, the Super Bowl is in New Orleans next year. Thank you, everyone, for correcting me. Okay, so give me the worst commercial. The one you liked the very least. What was the worst commercial of the night?
I think they're all kind of stupid. I didn't really like all that many of them. But the ones I thought were kind of bizarre, I think it was home.com or something like that. Those are bizarre. It was strange. I hated them.
They were.
And all the variation of them. I didn't really like the commercials. I don't really care.
I like the commercials, but I feel the Super Bowl commercials used to be a bigger thing than they are now, because now so many times they release them on social media before the game even happens, so you kind of know what it's going to be. But yeah, the homes.com, it was like they were trying to be so funny and they just fell flat. Like and there was so many of them. There was like three or four of them. That was bad. I see some people in the chat saying that the Temu commercials.
Which one was that?
The like little app thing that you can buy stuff. And they had like five or six of them that ran just the same commercial throughout the whole game. So that was kind of weird too.
Yeah, I thought there was some really stupid ones.
But what did you have one that actually was your favorite then?
I didn't have a favorite one.
You didn't have any that you liked.
No.
That's not true. You liked the mullet one. What was that? Kawasaki, the brand of side by side? You know which one I'm talking about.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
You like that
one? Was all right. I mean, I think they're all kind of goofy.
It was the Dunkin' Donuts one. The Dunkin' Donuts one was the best one. That was funny. All the different cameos in that one was funny.
Can I ask a question? What has Lopez done to her face?
She looks amazing.
Am I the only one that looked at her and go, hey, I know there's stuff that's been done to her face, but I can't quite pick it out.
Done stuff to their face. At least she can like still sort of move her face. Some of the other people can't move their face at all.
Yeah, who's the chick from Friends?
Jennifer Aniston. Her
upper lip doesn't move anymore.
Her mouth just stays like that. She can't move her upper lip.
We do need to talk about this. Chip Kelly.
Oh, man.
Bailing on UCLA.
Are we shifting gears then?
Yeah, let's shift a bit. We may come back. But he's the OC at Ohio State. Here's how I see it. In today's NIL world, so Chip Kelly now can go to a top-notch program, be the OC, not have all of the pressure that is an NFL or a head coach, having to deal with everything, make good money, and still have a chance to go out and play for the national championship. I can see why he did it. I think, you know, I keep hearing and reading where a lot of college coaches are not liking the way things are right now. It's hard to coach. You have to every year, you have to basically beg your players to stay. I mean, and you can't get mad at them. All that kind of stuff we've talked 1,000 times about. But that's tough. And so I think Chip saw an opportunity and took it.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. I'll say this. I don't blame him.
Well, the reason that it surprised me the most was just because they had just extended his contract. Like, I thought maybe he was going to leave, they were going to part ways, but then all of a sudden you hear that they had extended his contract, so it was like, oh, okay, I guess he's sticking around. But we kept hearing rumblings that he was interviewing at different NFL teams and things like that. But then to go be just a coordinator still in college is interesting.
It's not just a coordinator just anywhere. It is Ohio State.
No, I understand that, but I'm also wondering, do you think, see, it's interesting because he's going to a Big Ten school, but do you think that had anything to do with it? I think for sure it's the NIL, all the transfer portal, all that stuff, but do you think he is not wanting to deal with UCLA and their brutal schedule that they have next year? If you've seen their schedule and what they have to go through next year, do you think that played a part in it?
Sure, it played a part in it. Amy won Kenobi. You stay at an average school. I mean, I guess, you know, you just want to be a head coach. I get it. So, and he's been a head coach for a long time. But UCLA is not going to sniff the championship in the Big Ten. And players are going everywhere now. It's hard to keep them. So just all of that stuff put together, I can see him leaving that hassle and not having a shot at a championship to go be the OC at Ohio State and absolutely have a chance to win one. And like we said in our last podcast, or was it a couple ago? I can't remember, but Ohio State has opened the pocketbook to get players for the pay to play. And so now you bring in Chip Kelly. We'll see how it all plays out. I don't know. I mean, but yeah, I think it's an understandable move, absolutely.
Yeah, I say it's less pressure, I guess, in a different way. I mean, obviously, there's still going to be a lot of pressure, but it's different. And so, I don't know. But did I see, has UCLA hired somebody? Did I see that today? Now I can't think of who it was.
Is it Deshaun Foster? Is that the name? He's a SoCal guy, running back in the NFL. Is that his name? Someone will correct me. I think that was right. That's who they hired. In fact, he was going to the Raiders, Brent.
Dang it.
He was headed to the Raiders to be, I'm not sure exactly which position coach, and then he was given the, you know, then he, Kelly left, interviewed, got the job at UCLA.
That's a hard role to step into, though, right now. UCLA, this new conference, like we just said, their schedule, the travel that they have to do next year, and then right now they're probably going to lose players transferring because Chip Kelly left, and so
they have a shot now. They have a 30-day window, something like that.
Yeah, that's a hard one to step into right now. Deshaun Foster. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Texas Mike and everybody else. Now, surely, this is for those who are on YouTube watching this. So if you can't see it on, if you're just listening to us, you'll have to look this up. But surely everybody has seen this.
Oh, well, it's Caleb Williams. He was in GQ magazine. I think it was actually from a couple months ago. He's wearing a lovely orange skirt, and
he's wearing a dress
and orange tank top looking thing
and some goofy looking tennis shoes and white socks,
an orange dress with a black like scarf thing around his neck.
I tweeted this thing out, and I'm just saying, I honestly, is not football, of course. Yeah, where's Rose? She's always calling me the old guy. Yeah,
she's,
I am.
Here. She'll come around.
I'm the old guy, but I do remember. So here's, let me say this, what is very interesting. I was watching some highlights on YouTube of like Dick Butkus. Some of you guys may not even know who these people are, but Dick Butkus, Ray Nitschke, Jack Tatum, Jack Lambert, Ronnie Lott, Ray Lewis, and a bunch of other guys. I just was watching some old stuff of these old school football players. Rough and tough, violent guys. And I get up the next day, and on social media, here I see the projected number one pick in the NFL draft, a dude who wears a dress and paints his fingernails and jumps into the first row and cries to his mom because Utah just beat him. So I don't really care that he dresses like this. I'm just saying, do you pick that guy as the leader of men, the leader of your team? Because it's more than just talent, because Caleb Williams has talent. However, does he have the mentality and the toughness and all of it that goes with it to lead an NFL football team full of alpha males? And the dude's wearing a dress?
Well, okay, let's be clear. He is not wearing a dress. He was styled for a magazine shoot. Yes, I understand that he agrees to it, but he's not wearing that like out on the street walking around town. He does.
But that doesn't justify anything.
Yes, it does, because you're saying the dude wears a dress. No, he doesn't just wear a dress in his normal everyday life. I think, to me,
and you know that how?
Well, I guess I don't know that for sure, but it's he has been sucked into the Hollywood landscape. He's been like, and we've known that for the last year. I mean, last year, before last season, he was walking in runway shows. He was doing the celebrity.
Brand.
Gary, no, let me finish, Gary. He's been sucked into the celebrity Hollywood world. And so he's more that than football. So I think that's what's going to cause the biggest problem for his career. He's so focused on being the celebrity, on being the Hollywood guy, on being the LA guy. So he's going to come into a team and already have this like Hollywood ego, and he's going to get silenced for it. I really do think people aren't going to respect him for it. That's where I'm at. Thank you, Texas Mike. He needs to let me
But
finish.
Texas Mike, come on, man. As a Caleb guy, you can't look at that and go, that's my starting quarterback. That's
Well, it's not anymore. He's
I know that. Well, I'm just anymore. Saying. Yeah, okay, Steven, Cyril.
Yeah, what happens when that he will, comes to the Raiders?
I am telling you what, that just cannot happen. Yeah, Cam Newton. It's sort of like a Cam Newton 2.0, and Cam Newton, he was a weird dude. It messed him up.
Well, that's what, yes, there's been plenty of athletes that have done this kind of thing before in the past. They wear the dresses, they are in the magazines.
Nothing freaking
NFL. They're on the red carpets, all of those things. But more often than not, the guys that are doing that aren't doing very well on the field or on the court or any of that, because it's the Hollywood, like they get sucked into it and it's all of that hype. And then their focus is on that instead of on the game. And that's what's going to happen to him. And it's already happened to him. Look at his season last year. He tanked. He was not great. He was not a Heisman winner again.
Okay. Gary here is going, GM Gary. If I'm GM Gary and I'm the Chicago Bears, they got the first pick. And there he is. I have a guy who is in GQ wearing a dress. He's painted his nails, all this stuff. He doesn't want to do the press conference. He'd rather be home watching movies, hugging his cats. Remember that press conference? And then he jumps into the first row.
But yes.
There are so many red flags that go with his red dress that I'm going, no way. If I was the Chicago Bears, I would find the sucker of the team who wants him, stack up a bunch of picks, go get Marvin Harrison Jr. so that Justin Fields has a number one wideout and a bunch of other dudes, and the Bears would be set. But I certainly wouldn't want to start over with. To me, it's just too risky. Hey, whatever.
Well, it's all of it combined. That's the thing. It's not just one thing that maybe has been a red flag for Caleb. It's kind of all of these combined. So,
yeah,
we're gonna. Let's leave it there. We don't need to get canceled for any other reason.
I'm just saying.
I
want a man, a tough guy. That's what I'm trying to say.
I know. We all know.
What do you think about, okay, let me shift gears here to Jeb Fish.
Yeah.
So he left Arizona, goes to Washington. And do you know that he actually interviewed for the UCLA job? Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
That happened.
And I saw
that happened.
Yeah, see, it's interesting because I saw some things floating around on social media, and then I thought that I saw that those stories were fake, but then it's seeming like they were confirmed. So that boggles my mind. You've already been hired at Washington. Why on earth would you be interviewing at another place? And to me, UCLA is lesser than Washington right now. Like, why on earth would you take that interview?
I think of your players, though. You already had a mass exodus. So the guy leaves Arizona, comes to your team. They've had meetings. And I understand Fish has had a meeting with the donors and big names there, and I'm here to, be the guy and all this and that. And then kind of supposed to be silent, but it didn't stay silent. He goes and interviews with UCLA, and then you're asking yourself, well, how committed is this guy then to the program? Is he going to jump ship next year if someone comes knocking? I mean, it's that kind of stuff that's kind of sad.
I know.
And it kind of come back to Utah is, to me, that's one of the unique and beautiful things about Coach Witt and the program, is his absolute dedication to Utah and the culture. That's a rarity. And so when you come to play here, I don't know, you've got that stability, and that should mean something, I would think.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, we say that every year when people are calling for Whittingham to be fired and we need to move on. And the grass is never greener on the other side. Look, we have Kyle Whittingham for, again, I understand sometimes the frustrations, but the continuity of it and the loyalty that you just said, those things can't be beat. They can't be replaced. They can't be replicated. So the fact that we've had that stability for so many years, it's huge. It's massive. And for the players, I don't know. And so, yeah, like when people always say they want a change, they want Whittingham to go, okay, well, then who are you going to go find? And you don't know how long that next guy's going to be around. Is he going to stick around for a season and then leave for a better job? Who knows? We're very lucky that we have Whittingham and that he's been around for so long. So,
yep.
Oh, man.
Anything else, everybody? What do you want to know? Got anything else, Bryn?
No, I think we hit it all. What's your favorite Super Bowl snack? What do people like? Did anyone have anything amazing? Did anyone call into work sick today because you drank a little too much yesterday?
The Gary cocktail.
Yeah, Gary cocktail. Were you up all night because you had a Gary cocktail?
It took me a while to come. No, I was fine. I was fine.
Did you punch a wall last night, or were you able to just?
No, I'm pretty mellow. I'm actually very mellow. Ooh, bacon wrapped cheese. What?
Bacon Seriously? Cheese filled pickles. What is that? That sounds interesting and not very appealing to me.
I've never had that. Have you?
Oh, see, Noel took one of his vacation days, so you are the one. What do you think about moving the Super Bowl to Saturday? I think it was Dan Patrick that was talking about that a couple weeks ago on his show. Why don't move it to Saturday so everyone can just lay around all day Sunday? What's the downside?
I thought about that. So Super Bowl Saturday? I don't know. That doesn't sound right.
Okay, but is that the only reason to keep it on Sunday? I guess NFL is typically a Sunday thing.
Coronavirus. Well, okay. Are you smoking, or are you having brownies or other assorted goodies with it inside? What's your preference?
It's what Gary needs to do so he'd be a little more calm.
Yeah, it's probably something to that.
Yeah, I guess. All of the above. I get, but even Noel's saying that they wouldn't have as many people watch it on Saturdays, but wouldn't you rather see Noel? If it was on Saturday, you wouldn't have had to take a vacation day today. You'd have Sunday to just...
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think you could change that tradition. I think there would be less people for some reason. I think I agree on that.
Okay, well, more than anything, they need to change the college football national championship to Saturday and not a Monday. That is the change that needs to happen, because it makes no sense at all. And people are going to say it's because of NFL playoffs, blah, blah, blah. You could figure out a way to have NFL playoffs and then you have the college football national championship, tie it all together.
What did you say? You won on Saturday?
Yeah.
I do too.
You play college football on Saturday for the entire season, and then suddenly the biggest game of the college football season is on a Monday night. Nobody watches it. The ratings are not great,
And it's hard for people.
It's hard for people to watch it, yeah.
Not to watch it, but to get there and watch. You can get somewhere to go on Saturday. you can travel and then you can get back to work. But if it's on Monday, it's tough.
True. See, we're just fixing all the problems.
Yeah, we've got it all figured out. They should be calling us.
All the problems in the universe. All right, we're going to get out of here. Thanks to everybody who's here in the chat. Again, make sure you like and subscribe. I do think we're going to take a little time off just because football has ended, but we won't be gone for too long. And again, we're going to come back. We're going to try and get some guests in the next couple weeks. And so make sure you are following on all our social media so that when we announce these new episodes, you're not going to miss it and you're going to want to join us live. And of course, if any breaking news happens, we'll jump on here. But I think right now we're going to take a little time off.
That's the NHL season's winding down. There'll be NHL playoffs. So, yeah, we got some stuff to say on that, too.
Absolutely.
So
hockey time.
But spring ball is just around the corner, so we'll be at it. We'll get in the studio, get around that table again. But anyway, it's good to be with everybody.
Hope you've recovered. Football season is
good seeing you, Rose.